Hey, this is Paul White with Agent J on Groovement.
Okay, I'm sat with Paul White, who's playing at Hoya Hoya tonight. Have you been to Manchester before, Paul?
No, it's my first time here, but picked a perfect day for it. Really like it so far, man.
Geese chilling outside, barbarito.
Yeah, that's it. I feel pretty full up right now, actually.
Let's all take it easy on you. So I was going to start, obviously you've got a new album coming out, and I'm going to chat about that in a minute. Benji's a right Twitterer. Have you ventured that way yet?
I haven't yet, actually, no, I've got to admit.
How up are you? Facebook, in MySpace? Where are you? Or are you just completely not?
It's just MySpace at the moment, yeah. I just kind of, just for the selfish reason, I just want to spend more time on the music, really. MySpace is amazingly great. It's been really helpful, you know. It's kind of a job in itself, isn't it? I kind of avoided everything else, almost like the plague. Any more time away from the studio is bad.
Have you had any good hookups through that, like gig-wise? Or?
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. MySpace has actually really, really helped out. I hate to kind of promote it or whatever, but yeah, I mean, it led to this connection with a guy called Dai over in Japan. That was probably the biggest thing, you know, from Circulations, who actually ended up putting a track on a compilation. And I'm kind of pretty sure that all started off on meeting him through MySpace, and yeah, gigs, and you know, great for promotion, so it's definitely helped. Definitely.
How long's the gestation period for the LP? How long has it been in production?
The LP, it took me, I do beat tapes, I guess, for the past kind of like 2 years or something, you know. I've tried to do kind of like a beat tape every month, if not every kind of couple of months, so the album was kind of, most of the work was already done, so it kind of then took me like another 2 months, which is kind of too long. I want to get it down shorter than that for the next one, but it kind of took me another 2 months to arrange it and put it all together.
Did you take sort of older stuff and refine it and make it fatter or anything, or did you just, is there some stuff there that's quite old?
Yeah, I mean, there is stuff there that's quite old, I guess. I mean, not that old. I mean, we're only talking, I suppose, just over a year odd, I suppose, but I always try and do stuff kind of as quick as I can, really, and kind of just try and kind of pump out lots of different ideas. You know, I quite like kind of music. It's just the thought of it. It's just a reference to, you know, a mood or a feeling, or just quite a quick thing. If you spend too long on a track, putting anybody down, it does, but it's just not me. I can only really work on something for a day, so. So, yeah, I mean, some of the tracks I've kind of worked on a tiny bit, but to be honest, most of them are pretty much just kind of raw how they were.
Talking about mood, there's that one track, it's Burnt by the Sun. It's very sort of joyous, I think, and it's very, very emotive sort of song, and I know you used to do ambient sort of stuff, so it's almost, I can sort of see that. Was the ambient stuff totally beatless? Was it sample-based, was it?
It was all, there were drums, but no, none of it was samples. That's kind of the funny thing, really. I've kind of, everything has gone opposite. You know, I used to write all the music, I used to write 20-minute songs, you know, I used to find it hard breaking a song down. It's quite kind of funny now, kind of going from all of that to complete, you know, 1.5, 1-minute beats, you know, so. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny. I mean, that one song I can specifically remember was at a time when I was feeling emotional about something, so I'm quite glad you say that, really.
the album's sort of, it's got preview clips online, hasn't it? And Toddler T's had his album out this week. He's done the same thing with MySpace. It's sort of like cut tracks short, but the whole album's on there, really. And I know that with your EPs, you had the pay what you like policy with One Handed. How do you feel like putting... Was it your choice to put the preview clips up, or was it something that you feel... It's actually on a blog type thing. It's got like I presume it's an official thing, and it's got album clips on it for the whole thing.
Sure. Well, I mean, yeah, I'm happy with that. I mean, to be completely honest with you, I have a manager who does a lot of that stuff, who's an amazing guy called Alex Robinson. He's kind of made all the difference, basically, for me.
So Alex, who works with Stone Throw.
Exactly, yeah. So, I mean, he's just basically kind of allowed me to just keep writing music. He just kind of encouraged me to keep doing that whilst he kind of spends time doing that type of thing. So, I mean, I'm happy with... I'm just grateful, to be honest, to get to do an album. So, you know, the more places you can get to people, the better, really. So.
Was it your choice to have the special packaging?
No, actually, it wasn't. But I should.
The sort of thing that you think is like, you know, when I have an album out when you're little, it's going to be sewn. And
yeah, see, I should have claimed that one. No, it wasn't my idea. No, it was Alex's, which I thought was a great idea. So at first, admittedly, I was a bit worried. I was, how is this going to come out? But we just, you know, I mean, I just literally kind of hand done a load, or not actually made them, I put the CDs and stuff with Alex last week, and to actually see the way they came out, I was actually quite glad, quite relieved it didn't come off like some silly, crazy.
Do you know how many have been produced?
Just over 1,000.
So. There's a local girl called Catherine Edwards, who's a folk singer, and she did it. I don't know how many she managed. I know it wasn't 1,000, but she did like a hand-sewn thing for a CD. Yeah. Maybe 50, I think it was.
Wicked. Great.
No production line going on here. Like.
No, we need to idea.
Am I detecting there's sort of, I think, Time Wars, and there's an alien reference, and you use Doctor Who, the 80s, mid-80s one on. Am I detecting a sci-fi element in your makeup?
It's weird. I mean, really. Kind of, yeah. I guess I don't know. I'm not someone who kind of, I don't have an enormous... a set way I do things, or kind of, you know, it's kind of very much that hippie approach of just doing what you feel, I guess, and I'm kind of fascinated by that. I mean, I have a studio, it could be a few things. I mean, when I was in Cornwall a few years ago, I'm convinced it sounds like the stupidest thing in the world, but I'm convinced I did actually see a UFO. Like,
literally. I saw a badger in Cornwall, it's huge.
Maybe it was the same badger, yeah.
If you were looking up and it skipped across the sky, it might have been a satellite. I'm not dislike. I'm total like pro UFO, but I saw satellites in Cornwall as well.
I'm really, anyway, right, yeah.
Tell me more.
I guess I'm just fascinated by a lot of kind of, you know, all the kind of unexplainable things, I guess, in life in general. So I'd say that's one of them. Space and stuff, so I guess I've been fascinated with that. I mean, my studio is in an attic as well, so I have a skylight looking up, so during the day I'll get the sun, well, not the sun, we live in England, so grey clouds, but, you know, during the night, you know, I often get, you know, the stars and stuff, you know, the sky, so to be honest, I don't know, but maybe that influences me, you know, a little bit. So.
Maybe you're in on some ley line or something, you're attuned to the beat-making gods. How did you hook up with One Handed? Is it London based?
Yeah, I mean, it was again kind of set up from my manager, basically. So yeah, that was.
So at what point did you hook up with Alex then? What's been your journey to getting the LP out?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, it was just one of those lucky coincidences, really. One of those lucky chances. This music college I used to work at in London Bridge. Just the guy I worked with, basically. I was just kind of a technician, non-teacher, but one of the teachers there knew Alex kind of outside of work. I was a big Stones Throw Madlib nut, always going on about Madlib and Stones. This guy I worked with bumped into Alex, you know, and said, oh, I've got this guy who's bloody always going on about bloody Madlib, blah, you know, but he won't give me any music, you know, because this guy had been asking me to give him some of my music for a couple of years, and I kind of hadn't because I wasn't confident enough. But then he came in and he's just like, oh, you know, told him about you, you know, give him some stuff. So the next day I was there straight away, you know, obviously I think the guy from work didn't think it was going to happen, but I was there like, yeah. The CD, like 30 tracks, and that was it. He called me up, said he liked it, and just to keep sending him stuff. Nothing happened directly, but kind of smaller steps, I guess. But it was great. He just gave me that encouragement to keep going, and I'll just make beat CD after beat CD after beat CD and just send them all to him, I guess, so he could kind of pick stuff he liked. That's how the first couple of singles came about, and I think it kind of got to the point where I'd kind of done so many beat CDs, I guess he was just like, look, you know, we've got an album here, you know, if you want to do it, let's do one. And I never ever thought I'd be able to, kind of being an instrumental, you know, hip-hop artist, I never thought I'd get given a chance. So I just jumped at it, man. You know, that's my favourite thing, is creating a story and a journey. So I love all that stuff.
So at what point did you sort of come up with a concept for the dream aspect of it? Or did you always have that journey in your head and it was just a matter of getting it committed to tape, as it were?
Again, I hate to be boring, but it was, again, my manager's idea.
The dream concept.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean,
and that little photo shoot.
yeah, that photo shoot. Oh, don't remind me.
Sexy. It's a good photo shoot, that.
Oh, cheers, man. It's a bit bizarre. But I'm happy with, you know, the idea that he came up with. Because it is, I do like to try lots of different things, no matter kind of how weird, kind of odd they are. So, and I guess because they are, you know, I try to make them kind of out of my moods, I guess, a mood kind of base. So it was kind of like, you know, my beat CDs were made, you know, I guess he kind of thought we'd mix them all up together. It's kind of like a weird journey through through me or whatever, you know, like, so it was a good idea, you know, give him full props for the idea.
Has sort of sample clearance been an issue for you? Have you sort of had to tone down anything from what you used to do, you know, beat tape wise?
Sure, well, to be honest, it's just come to that point where I've kind of been made aware of it, you know. I think before,
treading more carefully almost.
Yeah, basically. I mean, it's an awkward one, you know, because I don't ever want to kind of stop writing the way I write or creating the way I create, but it does, yeah. I mean, it's for the first time, you know, is before I didn't care, I'd pick up any record, how big it was or whatever, but now I guess I try not to all the time, you know, and so I might as well go for the rare records, you know, rather than kind of more poppy, because it can, you know, or more whatever, commercially successful. So there's been a couple of occasions, you know, where expressed a tiny bit of concern, but nothing kind of yet. I think now it's hard, I don't want to take it too seriously, but I guess I'll you know, I will have it in my mind a tiny bit from now on, because it can limit you, it's a fact, really. I hate to say it, but it can.
I saw an discussion on the Dubstep forum, someone posted an interview with you, and they were on about it's not about how you know what sample you use, it's about what you do with it. And obviously, like, you always get the prog rock sort of questions and stuff, but have you always had a massive music taste? Have you always been into that sort of proggy stuff, or was the Wham rap your major sort of influence?
The Wham rap was just, I found some dude who was selling a load of cheap records, just like 99p for about 1,000, and that was one of them. So I had them sitting in my room, and I just picked out one day, just bored. So no, the Wham thing isn't a big thing of mine I actually went out hunting for. But I don't know, I mean, I guess my parents liked lots of different music, you know, they weren't kind of musicians, but they just enjoyed it, so I guess there was never one form of music, you know.
What sort of bands are we talking about?
So, I mean, my mum was into all sorts, you know, kind of all, you know, lots of soul, you know, just a hell of a lot of soul music, you know, all sorts. And then my dad was into a lot of stuff as well, but, you know, different things from Crosby, Stills and Nash through to JJ Cale to Bobby Womack to Bob Marley, you know, so it was kind of a bit of everything, you know, it was kind of being played around. Nothing amazingly, you know, crazy, but kind of, I guess it kind of opened my ears to some stuff. And then, yeah, just to be honest, it was interviews, you know, like reading interviews of my favourite artists is how I really, really started to find out some names, to be honest. Like Wax Poetics, I used to read that like a Bible, you know, and just, you just find out so much, because there's so much music out there, you know, I mean, you can find it on your own, but you want to find out all that other stuff, you know, just a few names, you know, that some shops you're just never going to find it. So
at what point did you realise that sort of some music was made from other music, and, you know, loops and samples and that sort of thing? Were you quite young when you realised that?
You know, I mean, probably DJ Shadow, I guess, kind of introducing, you know, kind of before I was really, really producing, you know, a lot of kind of hip hop. That was kind of when I was producing more like ambient and stuff, but that's kind of when I first, I guess, realised people doing it. And then find out about the kind of Steinsky stuff, you know, like those kind of lessons he'd done, and then, you know, really like records out of records. And then, I just don't think about it a lot, to be honest. It's just kind of just really kind of, you know, such a kind of free, open thing, and just got into as much stuff as I can. And that's the thing, the more you get into it, the more, that's the thing, you know, I'm sure, like yourself, you just realise that there's so much more stuff out there, isn't there, you know, grab as many different influences as I can, you know. People nowadays, I think, just listen to other producers, you know, and other kind of beats, and I've just discovered stuff that's just so crazy, you know, like old drum patterns on records from the 60s. I thought that was something new, someone literally just came up with a year ago or something, you know, a drum pattern I'd never heard of, you know. It's that cliche thing, but yeah, there's just so much amazing stuff, you'd be shooting yourself in the foot not to go and look it up.
Are you a fan of all this sort of hyperdub and dubstep stuff that's coming up? Because I was reading, I know next month, Hoya Hoya Ryan's got, Ryan and Johnny have got Iconica coming up. And a lot of her stuff is samples like heavy metal drums and stuff, and like Deftones and that sort of stuff. And it's not something you'd expect, but I'm always one for spotting, like, yeah, spotting sort of, what's the word, commonalities between sort of genres. And I'm quite happy that she's sort of pushing, you know, that sort of thing. So the question was, you know, is that something you're feeling, that whole scene, or are you still into some modern hip hop, or is it all old school for you? What are your sort of current musical?
Sure, I mean, there's a lot more and more old records, to be completely honest with you. I mean, I'm not really kind of going out either that much. I mean, you know, I've started to have a few more gigs, so I get out and kind of see what people play. But for the most part, you know, the past few years, it's just been in, you know, indoors, you know, writing as much as I can, just listening to as much old records as I can, you know. So kind of the more I get into it, the more I do just find myself listening, you know. Like a few years ago, you know, I'd just be whacking on, you know, Madlib records or something. Nowadays, I just find myself whacking on some old Brazilian or prog or, you know, some jazz record, you know.
Do you still do a charity shop run? Because I used to, like, years ago, do it, and now I feel like everything I've got, every time I go to a charity shop, I see. Mind you, I've got a really good, like, Hammond beat record from Whitby. Well, that was a couple of weeks ago.
I don't go enough, and that's the thing, I kind of don't. Yeah, I kind of stopped going a bit as well, you know, just almost just kind of the lazy aspect. But no, I got a friend, this guy Henry Keane, who's from the Sound Species, actually. And that dude picks up, man, seriously, you go into his house and see the records he's got, and he'll just constantly say, you know, last week, yeah, charity shop, charity shop, charity shop. I mean, it's literally incredible. So he's got me back on, I want to go back out.
He's a guy that's rinsing everything.
Yeah, I think he's getting all the good shit before anybody else. But, anywhere and everywhere, you know. I mean, whilst I'm here, I'd really love to get a chance to wander around. And, you know, yeah, if I walk past a charity shop, I'll always walk in. Definitely.
Well, there's a few like around town. I mean, Oxfam, obviously it won't be cheap, but they've got.
Nah, they've got records in the windows, haven't they?
Yeah, like, yeah, this one's like a specialist.
Weird or whatever, yeah, man. What's going
totally,
on?
Man. They had Metalheads, Inner City Life, or the one before that, 1999.
You're joking. Well, no. That's bad, isn't it, man? This it's going to affect your generosity to a charity, isn't it?
It was like, I don't need to give to charity ever because I bought these records. But I mean, like somewhere like Manchester, what you get is like DJs offloading collections and stuff. So you get a massive house collection or something, and you know, or a big bag of trance. But occasionally, there's really like gems.
That's what I want to get into, you know. Just as I said, kind of briefly before, just finding that. I mean, that WAM record was nothing, but you know, some of the records in there literally were a ton of absolute. The biggest pile of rubbish you've ever seen, and I found Hokey Pokey in there, that says it all. But yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, just one dude's for 99p, you know, just thousands. I just filled up my car full of it, you know, and I have dug through that. Like the first track on the album is from a record I can't even remember, but I definitely know that's why I called it a cheese special and a draw, because I knew it was a piece of crap, and I smoked some weed and I was feeling in a funny mood, so I thought,
oh. I thought it was to do with the dream thing. I thought, you know, eating cheese before you go to sleep and having nightmares.
Cool.
So that's too deep, innit?
Cool, that's good. That sounds good, though.
Use that next time.
Yeah, I will. Cheers.
So, what's the release date? Is it next week, or is it?
Yeah, I think it's the 8th of June. Right. I'm pretty sure. I think it's kind of out now. I think a few places have got it. I think so.
And once it's out and you're going to start getting more gigs, do you hope to be working with Stone's Throw then, eventually?
I don't know, I mean, you know, obviously that would be a dream, you know, it'd be amazing. We'll kind of see what happens, really. I mean, I've got more I've finished another EP, it's virtually ready to go, and another 7-inch is ready to go, and probably going to work on, maybe on another album, see how things go. So I've kind of got, as I said, kind of from the beat tapes I've done, I've kind of got a load of stuff there, so I think the next thing will be to kind of compile another one. I'd love to start working with some MCs as well, to be honest. So really just do as much stuff as possible. I really haven't kind of got a set. I definitely want to do this and only this, you know.
Do you feel like you'd have to meet an MC first and then come up with a concept for the song, rather than just having someone go over your beat so you not care?
It's both, really. I'd love to do, you know, it all. I'd never kind of limit anything, you know. Kind of really just want to try every means, every what way possible, you know, just because you definitely take something from everything, you know, and you limit things, and it's a bad thing. So yeah, I like to do it all.
So what sort of stuff are you playing at Hoya Hoya tonight? What's the sort of typical Paul White DJ set, or is there not one?
Yeah, I don't know if there is one. I mean, I've got a load of kind of beats with me, some new beats and some old records, just all sorts, you know, prog, reggae, dub, like Brazilian stuff. I'm really feeling really into my dub at the moment. So I always want to hear more dub out, so I might, depending on the mood, I might play a bit of dub.
You got Enter the Dragon with Lee Perry.
Oh, I haven't got that one, no.
Great album.
Yeah, I need that one, man.
It's like the only dub album I've got, that's why.
No, I wish. No, I haven't got it.
We'll have a top one tonight.
No, thanks a lot, man.
Manchester, it's a friendly crowd at Hoya Hoya, so should do. And just bear in mind that the takeaway above, I went Joker played there last month, and it was the Roadhouse, same venue, a couple of weeks ago, and it was in the takeaway above, and you could hear everything. The whole place, chicken was shaking in the grill. Absolutely brilliant.
Wicked, man. That's funny. Barbecue stroke, like, rattled from the sub chicken. I want to use it a certain something.
Write a beat about that. So is that after that, next week, have you just got gigs coming up now? Now you've had the sort of album coming out, are they starting to roll in?
They've started to get a bit more busy, which is great. You know, it's great to get to go out and play. I mean, it's great to get to come up to Manchester, man. It's brilliant. I just want to keep writing more and more music. That's the main thing. Just I'm really a kind of studio dude. You know, I just like, but also, you know, love's nothing more inspirational than getting to come out and play your music to other people and everything as well. So just, yeah, hopefully more gigs and just more stuff pretty soon, hopefully, to come out.
Yeah. Aight, y'all, enough talk.